Hey everybody, this is Lisa from the Greater East Side District 2 Community Council, and you're listening to the D2NU podcast, the show that recaps everything happening on the east side of St. Paul for people who love to be in the know. We have lots to talk about today, so sit back, grab a cup of coffee, or your favorite drink of choice, and let's get to it. Hey everybody, this is Lisa from the Greater East Side District 2 Community Council, and this is D2NU. Today, we are talking to Councilmember Nelsie Yang, who represents Ward 6 at the St. Paul City Council, about what her goals for the neighborhood are and about her history-making team of co-council members. So thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us today.
First off, thanks so much, Lisa, for having me on D2NU. I love the name. I love the podcast and can't wait to check out the previous and next episodes after mine. It's really an honor to be here. And just a little bit about me, I am the council member representing St. Paul Ward 6, which is a huge chunk of our East Side community. We have now four wards actually that make up the East Side community, which is Wards 2, 5, 6, and 7. I live in the Greater East Side. Yay, with my husband, my son, who's a year and a half, and also a really proud young student in St. Paul Public Schools. He goes to the Early Childhood Family Education Program, also here in the East Side. And I'm also expecting. I'm having my first girl in late April. I was elected in 2019, and at the time, I was a renter. I had basically graduated from college just a few years and have already done a lot of political organizing for about 6 years at the time.
Wow.
And the thought of running for office, it never was something that I ever imagined, could have ever imagined myself to. I grew up as a mom, daughter of refugees. I was born in Duluth. I have four siblings. My parents came here in the late 1980s and we were never politically involved. But as our family moved around, what really inspired me to get politically involved and to be an agent of change and to run for office is really because of the ways in which I felt really unsettled and felt so much injustice as I reflected on the things that my family went through. My parents, they have worked at the same company for 2 decades and continue to make only a little over $15 an hour. When I was in my senior year of high school, our house got foreclosed. And that was what had actually brought us to St. Paul after I had graduated high school. And as I reflected on all of these things, I really realized one main thing, which was that what my family went through, it was such a common story of so many neighbors, so many of my friends and family members. And I realized that we're all people who are part of this larger system, that it feels like it's just never working for working class people. And so in my family, we moved to St. Paul. And also my extended family has always lived in the East Side ever since basically the time that my family came here to the U.S. I just really knew that we needed a champion for working class families and somebody who would fight for labor, somebody who would fight for our folks who have always gotten the shorter end of the stick. And so that was really what drove me to do everything that I am doing today.
That's great. What is, in your opinion, the most difficult part of your job?
The most difficult part of my job? That's such an interesting question. Usually I get asked, what do I love most? I would say that the most difficult thing about my job is there's so much that I want to get done, so much progress that I want done in our community, policies that I love to work on in collaboration with community members and other elected officials. And I have big hopes and dreams. I have such a grand vision for the types of changes that I want to see, even beyond the city council. I'm a huge supporter of universal single-payer health care, of making sure that all families who need child care that they have, that folks don't have to live without their basic necessities at all. And it feels so tough to be able to achieve all of these. And I know that so much of those things actually will not get done in my lifetime, But what is really grounding for me is that I know I have to be a brick in this house that we are building, this house of
I love
community,
that.
inclusion, of equity, and democracy. And so I will continue to be that building block and continue bringing other folks to be that building block and energizing folks to be a part of that movement too.
Yeah. So you mentioned you usually get asked, what's your favorite part? What is your favorite part about your job?
My favorite part about my job as a council member is meeting people and connecting with them, and even through a single conversation, being able to see that we have so much more in common than not. And I think that one of the most grounding experiences I've had is really when I get to talk to complete strangers, and we end the conversation feeling so much more connection as human beings. And that's what I want more of, not only in my life, but in community. And that's also what I know people clearly desire too. I just had a community meeting a couple of weeks ago where really the Eastsiders who came nailed, like they had one common thing that they wanted, which was this human connection to each other. I know that we all are living in a time where it's post-pandemic, but I think that it's also really telling of the ways in which we've been disconnected for quite a long time, not even just during the pandemic, that there are ways in which people really need to just put into practice, like checking in with each other and talking with each other, talking about our hopes and dreams for our community. Those conversations actually are what move us closer to building a world rooted in racial, economic, gender justice, and climate justice. And so I have that burning desire to keep making those conversations happen, creating space for it, and just really lighting up that fire in people's bellies to be agents of change too. And in the East Side, we desperately need that. We need more champions, more leaders at the front lines, more folks to be involved with their district councils, to be a part of our city boards and committees, making sure that we have East Side representation there. And so that's what I am always, really excited about creating, and also being somebody who's like modeling that too.
What is one thing that people are surprised to find out about you?
People are always surprised to find out how young I am.
Yes, you
But
are, that's for sure.
especially how young I was when I got elected, ran for office starting in 2018. I ran for office a year and a half before my election day because I knew that in order for us to be able to engage more people in the East Side here, especially with it being an area that has historically had lower voter turnout, and just more members of our community being from marginalized communities and disenfranchised communities, it meant that I had to build a grassroots campaign team that was multiracial, multigenerational, and would go out there and not only engage people, but empower them to go to the polls and continue getting involved, like even after your campaign year. And that was what I committed to. So when I got elected a year and a half later, I became the first Hmong American woman and also the youngest person to serve on the St. Paul City Council at 23 years old. When I think back to that, I am just speechless at the courage that I had in doing something that I knew would be so challenging because of the identities that I had as a young person, as a renter. I also wasn't married at the time, and I'm also a woman of color. And so there are so many aspects of me that is really challenges what we normally see in who's representing us at the table. And so I remember when I Before I actually made that official decision to go through with running for office, I thought of all the negative things that people would say about me and how I can counter and combat those things. But especially, who would I go to during a time when I felt my lowest or was at my darkest? And it was always the community. It was that community of the team that I had around me, the people in the East Side who had this drive and just deep passion for change in our communities. And we're excited actually about having a young woman of color representing them. That was what I gravitated toward and always went back to. That was my grounding to be able to continue sourcing courage in me. And people are always really surprised about how young I am. And I think that for me, what is so rewarding and also so humbling about this opportunity and being a young person, a young woman of color in office, is that it really inspires other people who never could have seen themselves in this position to be able to see themselves actually doing what I do, to believe in them. And I always say that it's hard for us to be who we cannot see. So to be a living testimony of somebody who is trailblazing this work is very humbling and very rewarding.
Wonderful. And to have someone who is more reflective of our neighborhood, that's really exciting. It shows that we are having the right people in those power positions.
Yes, absolutely. And what I want people to know more importantly is that on top of what I celebrate in the identities that I have and being like the first in many things when it comes to me being elected, it's also so important who we elected into office. So for me, being a champion of our immigrant refugee communities, of our working class communities, which we know makes up such a huge core of our East Side community, and that
Yes.
we can support people who are at the very bottom and struggling most, and so that they thrive, and that's a win for all of us. That is what's so important. And so on top of ensuring that we have that diverse representation at the council, those values that added layer makes such a huge difference, and it's actually so key to how we can get to a new world that is possible and so possible for us to create together.
We have so many things that are happening, especially right here in the Greater East Side neighborhood. We have the Heights development. We have potential of the Hafner site redevelopment. We have Purple Line possibly coming through. There are so many things that are happening here. What are some of your things that you're excited about here in the neighborhood? What are some of your goals?
I think that you named almost all of them. And there's obviously a lot of other issues too that I care about, but like the top ones that I know, there's just so much positive buzz in the community. You totally named them, Lisa. The one thing I wanted to point out right away is that the Heights is one of my top priorities. And the reason why is because development in the East Side has always been pretty really hard to come by, like major development where we are bringing in jobs, we're bringing in a high volume of new homes that are energy efficient. Energy efficient, like that is so important to name. Like we have so many households in the East Side that are paying $600 to $700 a month during the winter season just to heat up their home. I was one of them. My husband and I, before we bought our new and first home here in the Greater East Side, we were renting for 2 years, and it was just appalling to me how much we paid in energy. A large reason of for it was because of how desperately our house needed to get weatherized. But then it was a rental home. It was going to cost so much, and we knew we weren't going to be there permanently, so we just basically had to make do with it. We also couldn't turn down the heat so much because that was when I had my newborn in the house too.
Exactly.
So you just continue living in survival mode and just waiting to build your family, your household, so that you can move on to a better home or stability. And that's like the reality of so many of our East Side families. They are in that survival mode and just really building their own economic status to be able to get to a better place. And so I'm really excited about the Heights because that's where we're going to be working in partnership with the city. It's going to be working in partnership with the St. Paul Port Authority, which owns the site, and community partners, community members and leaders. the community district councils and housing developers and so many other organizations to build 1,000 new housing units. So a lot of those housing units will be high density units, like affordable apartments. However, there's going to be affordable housing in that too. There's going to be a mix of single family homes, townhouse homes. These are all new units that I'm talking about. And along with the housing component, we're also going to be bringing in 1,000 low barrier living wage jobs. And that's so critical to our East Side community because we do have many community members who are immigrants, refugees, where it's hard for them to be able to attain jobs. But having those low barrier jobs is going to be critical. And on top of that, we want to see more folks in our local community work in their local community. And so this is going to create so many job opportunities for Eastsiders. And then lastly, the Heights will be the nation's first carbon neutral site. I am certain on that and super committed to that. What's so exciting is that, just a few days ago, the state's new green bank, which is called Mansifa, they just approved a bridge loan for us in $4.7 million so that we can lay down the infrastructure for a geothermal system at the Heights. And so this is going to be incredible. The East Side is going to be a model for our state, our country, and so many other countries will be looking at us to ask, how did you do it? We want to be like the East Side, and that is so exciting. And so in addition to the Heights, other projects that I have so much passion and drive for is getting our Hayden Heights Library renovated and also building the pathway to get our most outdated rec centers in the East Side completely rebuilt. And so that includes the Duluth and Case Rec Center, Hayden Heights Rec Center. And so overall, when I think about why these three projects for our public facilities is so important, it's really because the most outdated public facilities are all here in Ward 6, where I represent and where our District 2 community council members and board members live. And we've had to live in scarcity. The truth is that we don't need to live in scarcity. We have all the resources that we need for people to thrive. But the question is, where have those dollars been prioritized? And it's time. It's long overdue for those dollars to be here in our East Side community, serving an area where we know folks have been living in very poor conditions because of the income disparities that they are living through. Also because they don't come from generational wealth, but actually are here in the U.S. to build a life and to build that wealth for them. And so I am really hopeful and just really determined to change the course of what life is like here for the Eastsiders, because all of us deserve to live dignified lives and also have a high quality of life.
Absolutely. And it's so exciting from the perspective of someone who's worked in the neighborhood for almost 20 years, the old lady here, just to see all of this new investment coming to the neighborhood. My only fear is that, oh my gosh, all of these eyes are looking at us now. How do we keep those eyes looking at us down the road so that the Heights doesn't get built up and the rec centers get fixed and the library gets fixed and then all of a sudden those investments go somewhere else? We have to really work at sustaining those investments here on the East Side.
Yeah, the truth is we actually, first off, Lisa, you're not an old lady at all. So just wanted to point that out. But I did want to say, yeah, you're so right about that. People are looking at us in the East Side and we want that. And even more, we want them to jump in and to get plugged in on these amazing projects, to show rapport for it, to also send emails and communication to city council members, elected officials at the county and state, and say, hey, this is a project happening in the East Side. I really support it. And here's the reason why. Elected officials need to be hearing this from Eastsiders or from anybody who is here to play, work, and live in the East Side and just St. Paul overall. And I can't say enough that we need more of that. You can never hear enough from people. We actually need folks to be swarming City Hall and the Capitol, the county courthouse, on all of these issues.
Absolutely. We have the right people, I think, in the right positions to help us with that. That's for sure. I wanted to shift a little bit to you are part of a historic council. We have all women council members, the majority of the women of color, making it far more reflective of our city than it has ever been. What do you think that means to the city?
It means that our city is ready for big change.
I love that.
All seven of us, we are here because people elected us into these seats. The people, I don't know exactly if when people are voting, if they're making that connection on, hey, my vote could result in all-women city council. And so not sure if that was something that was intentional amongst all voters, but the truth is that majority of voters who came out and voted, they voted in support of a woman in leadership. And that was what built up to this historic milestone that we have in the city of St. Paul. And so I first want to acknowledge that the change was possible because of voters, and that is so powerful. And people came together to make that happen. And also, people were willing to resist and reject the notions of sexism that women have always been prone to, which is people questioning, are you really good enough? Can you really do this work? Able to be a leader leading a city. And all seven of us who are on the council, we've had to challenge those norms and those negative rhetorics. And like I said earlier, keep charging forward to build the type of world that we know we want to live in and that many folks in our community want to live in, which is rooted in equity for everyone across gender, across race, class, age, and so much more. And the other thing too is that the historic makeup of the council here, it just really speaks volume about how diverse our community in St. Paul is. It's hard for you to be able to come by a council that is so diverse in other places. Everything that I am seeing in our council here is just truly a reflection of our city and how wonderful it is, and why I continue to be someone who's so proud to be a St. Paul resident, and why I know other folks are too, because we know that when we all come together as a community, amongst the many things that make us different, we know that we can make more happen. We can also overcome so many hurdles. And at the heart of it all, really advance toward equity in our city.
Yeah, and I was one of the first generation of girls growing up saying you can be just about anything.
That's
And
amazing.
seeing this council, you're being the heroes for so many little girls in our city saying, hey, she
Yeah.
looks like me. I could be her one day. So it's exciting
Absolutely.
to see.
Yes, the she rolls.
The sheroes, that's right. To wrap up, I just wanted to ask the same questions to all the folks that we interview. What is your favorite thing about living on the East Side?
Oh, it's got to be the food, the wide
Aha,
range
yes.
of different cultures and food. I just love it. And I love going to the former Hafner site where we have all those food trucks.
Yes, that's for sure. If you met someone today who had never been to the east side of St. Paul, where would you send them?
I would send them to Payne Avenue. I
Oh.
love Payne Avenue because it is a business corridor where we, a lot of folks thriving, and we're also in the works of revitalizing it. I think that you've got such a good mix too of really different businesses that you can find on there. And then after that, I would take them on a bus, or we would bike and we'd go to our other business corridors, Arcade Street and then White Bear. I'd take them to the food truck site too.
That's great. Are there any final thoughts that you want to leave with our neighbors?
It would just be that I've got so much love for our community. I know that our East Side neighbors do too. And the changes that we want to see, from robust transportation to our business corridors thriving and families having all that they need to thrive, it's really going to take a movement of East Siders to make that happen. And also bringing along like our entire St. Paul community, because the things that we want on the East Side, it's also very similar to what folks across our city want too. And so I really encourage folks to get involved and to have conversations with each other to get to know your elected officials so that we can continue building out this coalition of partnership and community.
Absolutely. Where can people find out more information about how to get involved? Are you on socials? Do you have a web page that you want to recommend?
Yeah, I have a website, my council page. It has info about where you can subscribe to my monthly newsletter and also visit my Facebook page to get caught up on events that's happening locally here and even job opportunities. And so I do recommend folks to subscribe to my newsletter and also follow my social media page. You can check out my personal page too if you'd like and follow me there. It's Nelsie Yang. And yeah, we're always happy to meet with people too. So if you want to request a meet and greet, you can email my office and we can get to know each other from there.
I want to thank you again for coming on today. You are our second official guest, so I really appreciate it. And I hope you'll be willing to come back as well, because I know that with all the things happening here on the East Side, that people will want to hear from you and find out more about what's going on at the Ward 6 office. So thanks
Thank you
again,
so much.
Nelsie. This has been another episode of D2 and You. To sign up for Councilmember Yang's newsletter, go to stpaul.gov and in the search bar, type Nelsie, Nelsie Yang, and that'll get you right to her page. Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you are new here, welcome, and be sure to hit follow or subscribe so you never miss an episode. Check out our website at greatereastside.org for further information on what is happening in the neighborhood.